Good morning, everyone. As Larry stated, beautiful weather. The flowers are looking great this year with all the rain we've got. I've got something I want to talk about this morning, but I'll let you know what I'm going to end up with. Some of the elders know about this, but a lot of you don't know much about me. So I'm going to be like Jason today. I'm going to tell you a little about my life today before I'm done, which may surprise some of you. If you listened to Mike Warner in class this morning, some of you should have caught part of it, but you might not have caught what he said in class this morning. We just partook of the Lord's table. But I want you to think about something. I got to studying. I read something on the computer the other day and got studying about the 22nd Psalm. And so many places that God put things in David's mind that so much of the New Testament shows up that through David, Christ was predicting what was going to happen to him. I want to share with you some of the 22nd Psalm today, just a little bit of it. It's amazing what God can do with a person's mind when he wants to use you, and how consistent his teaching has been throughout all creation, since creation. It's all been aimed to bring Christ to the world. Even when the Jewish law, God had this in his mind to bring Christ into the world. Some call this the crucifixion psalm, the one, the 22nd psalm. If you go back and study some biblical scholars, they believe that Jesus was reciting this very psalm as he hung on the cross. A lot of what he said come from that psalm. But I do believe one thing, up until his very last breath upon that cross, Christ was teaching his holy word about future life. Everything he did and said was leading to our future life. Psalms was written 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, approximately. But the prophet David was prophesying of God in what he taught and what he wrote, because God told him what to write. I'm going to go through some of the 22nd Psalm with you today. First verse says, my God, why have you forsaken me? What does Mark 15:34 tell us? At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Elo, Elo, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Comes back to what David taught in the book of Psalms. The same thought. How did David know? God had to put that in his mind. It's going to be used later. In the same chapter, the 7th and 8th verse, those who see me ridicule me, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. If you remember Matthew 27th chapter, verses 39-43, I'm not going to read them verbatim, I'm just going to kind of highlight them. And those who, 39th verse says, those who pass by blaspheme him, wagging their heads. Verse 40 says, saying, you who destroy the temple and build it 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Verse 41, likewise, the chief priests also mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, in 42, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. Verse 43, he trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. You notice the consistency in the whole Bible? Of course, what Christ did upon the cross was prophesied 1,000 years before. And we think, man thinks he's smart on earth today. The only smarts man has is what God gave him. And in the same chapter of Psalm 6, verse 16, "For dogs have surrounded me, and the congregation of the wicked has compassed me, and they pierced my hands and my feet." Written in John, the 19th chapter, "He bearing his cross went out to a place called the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him." They crucified him, as prophesied by David. I think with all the time we hang on the cross, that the one of the last things he says, "I thirst." I want to read you a bit out of the 22nd chapter of Psalm, the 15th verse, and see what David says about that here. "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death." What was Christ saying? He said, "I thirst. I die for you." Same thing that David prophesied of. John 19:28. "After this, Jesus knowing all things," that's when he said, where he said, "I thirst." Psalms 22:18. We all know this. "They divided my garments among them, for my clothes they cast lots." Matthew 27:35, 1,000 years later. "When they crucified him, they divided him his clothes by casting lots." The consistency of God's word compared to man's knowledge is amazing. What he's taught through, from creation through down, through Christ dying on the cross, still teaching today, through this book that we have written for us. He says, "I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you." Hebrews 2:12 says, "I declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I sing praises to you." Now, do you think that David was just writing a story, or he was teaching what was going to happen to Christ in later times? Study that for yourself. Fulfilled what he was talking about. Fulfilled a lot of what he was going to say. I want to read you something that a little story to think about this. What David taught, and through Christ being upon earth, brought about. Nowadays, you get all kinds of recall notices on cars, on machines, things that malfunction. The breakdown, get a recall notice because something wrong with it. The company has to fix it, repair it. What if God did that? Stop and think where you'd be in life if God recalled you because of malfunctions. What if the maker of all human beings, recalling all units of manufactured, regardless of make, year, due to a serious defect in primary and central components of the heart? This due to the malfunctions is in the original prototype units named Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. Now think about that. This defect has been technically named non-morality, or more commonly known as sin, primary expression, expressed. Symptoms. Loss of direction, foul vocal emissions, amnesia of origin, lack of peace and joy, selfishness or violent behavior, depression or confusion in mental component, fearfulness, idolatry, And the last one and the biggest one, rebellion against the master, the maker. Now the manufacturer, who is neither liable or at fault for this defect, is providing factory authorized repair and service free of charge to correct this sin defect. The repair technician Jesus has most generously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. There is no additional fee required from each of us. Stop and think about that. Feel that's true? We meet each and every Lord's day and three times a week to be with God in Christ, that He is doing that for us. Exactly that. Exactly what Christ and God is doing for each of us. It says, once connected, please unload your burden of sin through the repentance procedure. Let's download atonement from the repair technician Jesus into the heart component. Heart component. No matter how big or small the defect is, Jesus will replace it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus does that. That's the recall of the Father. And a note from the Father says, please see the operating manual, the believer's instruction before leaving earth, the Bible, for further details on the use of these fixes. Warning. Remember the warnings on equipment? Do not use it illegally. Continue to operate the human being unit without correction voids any manufacturer's warranties, exposing the unit to dangers and the problems too numerous to list to result in human unit being permanently impounded. The dead judgment to hell. The human being not units not responding to this recall action will have to be scrapped in the furnace. The sin defect will not be permitted to enter heaven so as to prevent contamination of that facility. It says, thank you for your attention. And you can contact the Father anytime by knee mail, not email, knee mail. By knee mail and talking to Him. Stop and think about that. Where would we be if the prophecy of David hadn't have been true? God hadn't sent Christ down to help us. Where would we be today? Without that possibility of escape from this earth. Now, how thankful are you that you have that opportunity today to be with God? Now, think about that. You can judge yourself. I can't judge you. It's between you and God. But how grateful and thankful are you that He did that? What I'm about to tell you is what came about to my life years ago. I'd forgot about it, didn't think much about it until Elena had her appendicitis operation. And then I got thinking about it, and I thought, these people don't know a thing about me. The elders do. I've told them about it. But medically speaking, I am not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead. My wife says God saved me for her. He probably did for a lot of persons who used me on earth. But at the age of 18, I had a ruptured appendix. They say today very few people live through it. For 3 days, I lived with needles and tubes in me. I had no idea what was going on. I wasn't a member of the church then until later in years, so God had to be have an idea He wanted to use me for something because I didn't know. That half gallon of dextrose they give you to build your blood up, and they said the first bottle they put on me took 11 hours to go down. The last one went down in 30 minutes. But young people, I beg you, don't put off. If you're thinking about becoming a child of God, no matter what your age is, don't put it off. Because the more I think about that, life is that short, unpredictable, we don't know how long we'll be here. I'm fortunate God spared me. Had use for me on this earth. If you're not baptized today, think hard about that. Because without His guidance and His arm to lean on, you are lost. But that's how close and how short life can be. We never know when He will take us. So be ready. We're not promised life. No place in the Bible promises you that you're going to have a long life. If we follow God, we will through eternity in heaven, but it doesn't promise you have a long life on earth. But I wasn't a member of the church at that time, but I do remember, the older I got, the more I think about it, that He had use for me on this earth to keep me here. Because you lay there for 3 days of my life and I have no idea what was going on. I don't even remember those 3 days. I can't even bring them back at all. My mom said she came in and talked to me. And I asked her, and I don't remember none of it. Because medically, I was not here at all. So if anybody has had anything like that, you know what I'm talking about. But those that haven't, think seriously. No matter what your age is, if you're not a child of God today, think seriously, because tomorrow might not get here. That's how uncertain life can be. We have no idea. We aren't promised. Some people think I'm a little crazy. Maybe I am a little crazy, but maybe that's why. Some of that went on. Maybe it's why I'm a little crazy. That's why I joke a lot and don't take things real serious, because life on earth is not that serious. It's too short to worry about it. I want to read you some scriptures. Jason used this last week. Jason, I've already had this down to use it, but I'm going to use it again, what you used last week. Out of Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 20 through 27. I want to read those again. Jason had them last week. I want to read them again. Think about that. If you're not a child of God today, think strongly about them. I don't care what your age is. Think about them. If you're contemplating it, don't put it off. Whereby their fruit you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many good works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And rain descended on the rocks, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that rock, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Built and beat upon that home, and it fell not, because it was built and founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth and doeth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon them the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Think upon that. Everything we do, everything we think should be built upon Christ, upon what He's taught. But I don't want to share that with you today, because that is how short life can be. It's how uncertain life is, that we don't know. Some of you probably thought I'm going to talk about something happening in the military. No, that wasn't as serious as that one there was. So we beg of you today, whatever your concern is, whatever your thinking is, if you're contemplating becoming a child of God, do it now. That way you have a guide and help to go to heaven if that life should be snuffed out. When you think about that, those that have been through it, it makes us appreciate more what we have in Christ now. Because He is the one that gets us to heaven. It's the only one, not anyone on earth. Whatever your heart desires today, we'd like you to come forward and we'll offer a gospel invitation. You can become a child of God. Use Him as a crutch to lean upon. Because we're not guaranteed a thing on earth. Come forward as we stand and sing the song if you wish.